It's Corporate Lunch, the Larry Bird episode of Corporate Lunch, couple of threes. Downtown, 33, episode 33.
3-3.
Were you a Larry Bird fan growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my dad was, so I was.
Inherited, de facto, Larry Bird fan.
He was a New Englander, and then, so it was in the house, it was a thing.
Larry Bird could really hit the three, but then when you think now of the Steph Curry era, it kind of blows the mind.
How would he hold up? Probably not. in today's league.
I think he'd have two broken knees.
Maybe in a game of horse.
You know, this is the, we're here to talk, we're going to talk about social media. We're going to talk about feeds. We're going to talk about maintaining your personal brand. We're going to talk about Twitter, Instagram. I don't know. Maybe you have something to say about Facebook. I damn sure don't.
No.
Nothing. LinkedIn? LinkedIn?
No.
Should we spend the whole pod talking about LinkedIn?
My LinkedIn inbox is lit with young CEOs putting me on putting me onto their brand.
My name is Will Welch. This is Noah Johnson. We would like you to invite you to join the LinkedIn network. Engage with this episode. Let us know your title, some of the key points on your resume. Any tech skills you have, like, are you proficient in Microsoft Word? Do you have any secondary languages? How are you with Excel?
I do have LinkedIn. Do you have a LinkedIn account?
You do?
I have one. Yeah.
Dude, are you looking for a job? Sam.
Hit me up. I don't. Sam doesn't have one.
Noah's looking for a job, dude.
Dude, I'm not, but I don't know why I have one. I've never had a meaningful interaction there. I do sometimes get, like I see at my
just
inbox.
Just a boy. And, looking for meaningful interactions
and,
on LinkedIn.
It's a lot of recruiters on there that will come after you for weird jobs.
No, there's very, very few things about you that make me sad.
Having a LinkedIn
but
account.
But this is one, absolutely, yeah.
I'll delete
just
it.
Depressing.
I'll delete it. I don't know. I don't remember why I have it. It must have been a moment of desperation.
Do you remember when Kylie Jenner tweeted, "Does anyone even use Snapchat anymore? Lol."
It just sunk a whole fucking
and it just torpedoed.
Media empire.
I feel like this episode of Corporate Lunch is just going to destroy the valuation of LinkedIn.
Does anyone even use
I'm on a mission.
LinkedIn anymore? Lol.
Yo, Noah, fuck your LinkedIn. Fuck LinkedIn.
LinkedIn
fuck
is-
your resume. You got a perfectly good job.
I don't use LinkedIn.
You're perfectly happy where you are. You're well compensated. Your family's taken care of. What more do you need, man?
I got a podcast.
Sam said people were endorsing Noah for podcasting.
I use
on
it
LinkedIn.
For promotional purposes. You got to reach these young CEOs, man. They're the future.
Dude, when you found GQ Style, and Corporate Lunch, you found your home.
Yeah.
Anyway, hit Noah up on LinkedIn with any job offers, with any lucrative job offers.
I haven't. LinkedIn, I could give or take. Facebook is sort of another situation.
Are you on it?
I have a Facebook account, yeah. I haven't logged in a very long time. And the only reason I didn't delete it.
Since the 90s?
More recently than the 90s, but there's a couple things very annoying about it, which I think probably people understand. One is I use Facebook to log into a bunch of other shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then I don't know now what happens if I decide to change that and what problems that will cause. That's just like a trick. That's a great grift from Zuck. And then the other is...
Young Zuck.
I don't know. There's photos and stuff on there I guess I'd want to save. I guess there's a way to do that, but...
One thing that's interesting about the privacy paranoia is... I mean, I guess my social security number, my credit cards, my bank routing number feels private.
Yeah.
I don't really have that much interesting information to steal.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
So I'm a little bit like, my natural inclination is like a healthy dose of paranoia about like, you know, agents of the state, quote Killer Mike.
It's about like the potential.
But I'm sort of like, I don't, you know, something that, you know, all the cameras on our shit makes me a little
being
nervous.
Recorded.
You're not gonna catch me with an Alexa in my house.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think
but just in general that like Facebook's got my information. Because I did have a Facebook page for like 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago. So, you know, I don't know. What do they have? What do they have that I haven't willingly given like 6,000 websites? Like
the other
credit
thing
card
is
information?
I've never once logged on period with under the premise that there was any sort of privacy, that anything that I was like, that was collected within was somehow private.
You're like, interesting. To log onto this social media network, I'm going to give you my date of birth.
Yeah.
My age.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the same.
What grade I'm
in. Yeah. You know, your zip code, all this. They're obviously collecting your information.
My top five favorite albums.
But God knows who has our information at this point. Noah, take me through a day in your, just an average day, you know, speed me through your day of social media usage.
God, do I have to
Let
tell
me start
you?
This.
Do I have to tell
do you? Do you blink open your eyes and reach for your iPhone?
Yeah.
Oh!
I was just going to say, do I have to tell the truth?
And yeah, that's the whole truth and nothing but.
Yeah, the phone sleeps next to me.
You wake up
in
like,
bed, but
you wake up like, and grab her phone. Me and my domestic partner actually keep our phones between each other in bed.
Sometimes it's like under my pillow and I'm like, man, this is just, the juice is going straight into the brain.
Okay, so you wake up, tell me what you do, Twitter or Instagram?
I wake up, I check the inboxes for some reason.
Ooh, email first.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Gmail and work?
Yeah. And then
which order?
I don't even know. I think
one
personal.
Or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Personal, then your conde.
But email is becoming less and less interesting. Like,
yeah, nothing good happens
over. It's more
email.
Likely I'm going to get an unusual text message from someone interesting overnight than an email.
Definitely.
And
increasing
then,
amount of business being done over text message.
And then it depends. Like, this morning there was big news from Korea and our president. So I kind of dove right into Twitter. And a lot of the news happened overnight during my snoozing hours.
Did you get like a complete New York Times take before you started reading the secondary tweet
takes? No, not really.
Takes?
This is like the thing is I just went into the feed.
Yeah.
And just got all right of this the secondary feed. Takes and just like pieced it all together. I didn't really read a meaningful. But partly that's because in this situation, I mean, this is maybe crazy, but this is a situation where like I don't need to read all the particulars. It's just
also
like,
North Korea. It's pure take.
Yeah,
you know, there's actually no news.
There's a photo op and then there's takes.
It's
and that's
just
what,
take. There's no news there.
That's what went down. But other like if I was like so what my behavior on social media in the morning depends on like the night before. So if I was out last night or doing something fun and I was like lighting up the.
The stories?
the IG stories?
Yeah.
I'd probably go right into the gram and be like, oh, let's see what sort of interactions I had overnight.
Meaningful interactions.
But I didn't do anything meaningful on IG last night, so it didn't really come to mind.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit. Well, let's continue. So take me through your day.
So then I pretty much, the phone gets a break for like a couple
then,
hours.
Then the second part of your brain blinks on and you're like,
check
must
LinkedIn.
Feed child.
Exactly. After I've gone through the LinkedIn inbox.
Now that I know how lit my Instagram stories were for last night, I wonder how my child is doing.
And then, the rest of the morning is pretty much not really a digital thing. It's a real life thing. And then, during the commute, I will resume my digital interactions. Yeah. And again, it sort of depends on what's popping. Ideally, I just put on a podcast. I just re-listened to old episodes of Corporate Lunch.
Yeah, me too. What'd you listen to this morning? I listened to 27.
And then, but like if something, see my behavior on social media really varies and it really depends on like what's in the air and what's happening.
Yeah.
And if I'm excited by something or if there's a conversation, it could be as simple as like, Skate Twitter is like arguing about like a new video part that just dropped and I just can't.
So you're staying in.
I'm just like refreshing.
Yeah, it's like when Ye came back on Twitter. Yeah. It was like I didn't even know what Instagram was for
exactly
7 hours. No, 7 days.
And then like Twitter to me has the ability to do that. It can like pull me in and hook me and then it can bore the shit out of me and sort of repulse me. And it just depends on like what's happening and where I am with it, like how complacent I've been, like, and what my purpose is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's entertainment, there's killing time, there's like seeking out information, there's, you know, all that stuff.
Following a spiraling take.
But more often than not, I will spend my commuting time, which could be up to an hour, is typically not that long, just kind of like scrolling.
Yeah. Just flicking the thumb.
Yep.
How's your thumb? Do you have any like physical? Have there been any physical alterations to your right hand because of your iPhone usage? I'm being serious.
Not that I've noticed.
Okay. I feel like a little bit arthritic. Yeah. What'll often happen? I'm on airplanes to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And from Los Angeles to New York a lot.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I'm on my phone, you know, I just get on the Wi-Fi and I just work for my phone the entire time.
Yeah.
And then I get arthritic feelings.
Yeah.
In my right hand.
Yeah. I've like written filed stories from my phone. And
I mean, the iPhone is incredible. I can melt a 6-hour flight. It's as though it didn't happen.
Just crush it.
Just working for my phone.
Just
and like moving between social media and email and so on.
Do you do any social media?
No movie, no, you know.
Do you do any social media on desktop? At all?
I have Twitter open during most. I have Twitter open most days. But I probably only, I mean, there are some days where it's sitting there open and I don't look at it. And then I'm also not at my desk that much over the course of a day.
Right.
So there are whole days where I realize at the end of the day that I have not been on the internet.
A pivotal moment.
I just missed what was going on. Thankfully, there's you and Sam and Mark Anthony Green and people like that who
we
will
come
have,
screaming in. Will,
oh my God, I'm tweeting.
Check the feeds, Will. A pivotal moment for me in social media consumption was I was a major Google Reader head.
Mm.
That was an RSS feed.
Yeah.
That Google operated that collected the latest posts from all of the websites that I was following. This is pre, like, before I had a Twitter. This is before Twitter and Instagram. Google Reader then shut down, and I was left, and me and many other people were left with this sort of, like, hole, this void, where, like, how am I getting the information? I can't just go to URLs or use, like, a bookmark tab or something.
Yeah.
And there are other RSS feeds, but Google Reader was superior for various reasons. That led me directly into Twitter, and I think ever since, my dependency and my sort of like interaction with Twitter has been very much informed by the absence of Google Reader.
Yeah, and so it's very much a it's not just like takes and memes and jokes. It's also like a content aggregator slash delivery system slash curation device,
which like has its problems because I often deceive myself into like leaning on that aspect of it too heavily.
Yeah.
And then like not really acknowledging like all the empty calories that like come along with it.
Yeah.
The fact that like actually
or the hard skew to your news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. How often do you kind of like rethink your following, who you follow on Twitter?
Not often enough. And I find that sometimes my whole like attitude towards it can be shaped by just a couple people that I'm seeing way too much and that I suddenly realize like I don't need to follow this like, you know, important like media critic or like pop culture.
Why do I spend 30% of my day thinking about Maggie Haberman? How did this happen?
Yeah.
This is not my beautiful life.
And I think the algorithm must do things. Maggie Haberman's a good example, but like the algorithm must, Twitter must feel like I want to see a lot of her shit, or she's just posting way more than anybody else. But like,
yeah,
it can
dominate. Think she's an animal.
And then you can just be like, hey, all due respect, and you know, I'll read her stuff when she drops a heater. But like, you can smash the unfollow and just get on with your life, and you're never gonna like miss.
Amazing
it.
What you won't miss after smashing unfollow.
But it's hard to. I try to do it somewhat frequently, but it's hard to. Instagram's really tough too. Like, I dive back in, I'm like, damn. If I'm following like over 1,000 people, I'm just like, that's too many.
So. How do you use Instagram? You kind of do you find little stolen moments throughout the day to check in, and then there's like a sesh in the morning, and then like a sesh pre-bed or what?
Yeah, it's kind of like more Instagram on the weekend and then Twitter during the week,
right?
And then
that has a logic to it.
Yeah, that I feel like follows the sort of pace of life for myself. I'm big on the Instagram stories. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm still into it. I remember when it launched, I had just signed up for Snapchat and I could not figure that shit out.
Yeah,
I
was Snapchat
fully
was like,
having the like, nope, sorry, dog, you're over 30. This is not for you.
Yeah.
And other friends had it down. And they're like, it's just like this. And I'm like, but there's no feed, whatever. And I feel vindicated because that shit is, I mean, I don't really know, but to me it seems like it's just gone.
Yeah. Well, certainly for our generation, we were like, oh.
Yeah.
It's fixed.
We tried.
Problem
and then,
solved.
Around that same time, Instagram was just like lost all of its energy to me. I was just totally like, I don't know, these people, the filters and these composed images and the adding all the brands and the, it just didn't feel like it was going anywhere. And then they
the,
launched
the heavy curation.
Yeah. It was just too much.
It was starting to get a little like candy
totally.
Sickness.
And I found myself looking at it rarely and starting to feel like a little bit like maybe I was going to be liberated from this thing.
Yeah.
And then boom,
sucked you right back
then
in.
Launched stories. And I now immediately like it made sense to me. It was like a really fun thing to do, especially for like, if you do things like go to a lot of concerts, fashion shows, skateboarding, like all this stuff, that's just like, doesn't really need to exist forever, but you kind of just want to share and it's fun and other people check it out and might say some stuff and you want to see other people doing that stuff. Stories is perfect for that.
Yeah.
And it hooked me
yeah,
right
like,
back in.
Yeah, like you skating with the homies is quality IG stories content. Let me ask you this. Do you, has getting back into Instagram via IG stories, do you, are you back to paying attention to your feed? Or do you mostly like stay in the stories realm?
A little bit, but sometimes I'll do like three swipes on the feed
and be like,
nah.
Because one thing that's, I first realized that there were people who, that a lot of Instagram users were just staying in the story zone.
Yeah.
When I started seeing people with tons of followers.
Yeah.
Posting on their stories that they had done a new feed post.
Oh, to like, yeah. Check
so out they're
my,
like driving traffic for all the for their like millions of followers who don't look at the feed. They were like new post up, which is almost like tweeting that you like tumbled. You know what I mean? And they'll post the photo, but like obscure it, and then be like new post up.
Yeah,
go smash the like button.
Yeah, one other way I would get back into the feed is like, I'll go through these like crazy manic episodes where I'll follow like 50 different like Japanese like fashion, like vintage Japanese boutiques or something like this. And I just can't get enough of it. And I'm like, I'll just load up on these things.
Yeah.
And then my feed becomes like filled with
workwear,
like, weird Japanese vintage workwear. And like, that's cool. And then I get sick of it and I unfollow them.
Yeah.
But like, I'll go through these phases.
Do you keep the like three best ones?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. But you like let it sit for a little while, and then you have to kind of check in and be like, do I still need this?
Let me ask you something. There seems to be, you know, I don't work for Wired magazine or whatever, so I'm not like necessarily fully up to speed. But there seems to be an increasing amount of research, increasing amount of revelations about like some pretty nefarious research that's been done by the tech companies about how to keep us hooked into our phones and our applications.
Yeah.
So that complicates my driving take on social media, which is that Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of these things are like ethically neutral.
Yeah.
They're just platforms.
Just platforms. Yeah.
Like Instagram, you know, you can be tricked by the fact that it has like branding and a little icon and certain color schemes and design and not advertising, but some stuff that has been like established by Instagram about like the kind of content that it wants on it,
that it
wants on it in a way. But at the end of the day, it's just a platform with certain functionality.
Yeah.
It allows, and it has very, very like specific rails. So it allows you to post photos. It allows you to tag those photos to other people.
Yep.
It allows you a caption. It allows you emoji. Yep. You know what I mean? There are just certain things that it does.
Yeah.
And if the result of your interaction with that platform is that like you have insane FOMO, you hate all your best friends, you feel like everybody's life is better than yours, it makes you feel small and shitty, or like you being on Instagram makes you feel like the king of this town, you're cooler than everyone, you can't believe the amount of like positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
Whatever it is emotionally that you get from Instagram is like in some ways a projection in a mirror.
Yeah.
And you're really just getting you're feeding in and pulling out all of that meaning.
Yep.
And Instagram itself doesn't provide it. So same goes for Twitter, same goes for Facebook. LinkedIn, that's going to be the last time we say LinkedIn on this podcast. From now on, if anybody says that word, Sam's going to edit it out with some sound effects.
Does Corporate Lunch have a LinkedIn
with
account?
With the famous aliens burping sound effect. So that has always been my take. It actually remains my take, but it may have to be adjusted a little bit by like this idea that we're actually being like mentally fucked with.
Yeah.
And like we're you know, our dopamine and stuff is being manipulated. Because I kind of felt like, dude, I'm responsible for my own dopamine. Like, yeah. if I can't establish a healthy relationship to my iPhone, if I can't establish a healthy relationship to Instagram, like, that's on me.
Yeah.
I can't get mad at, like, you know, the ghost of Steve Jobs or, whoever it is on Instagram that makes me feel X, Y, or Z.
I sort of feel like I'm above it. I'm probably wrong, but like my thing is like, well, I'm smarter than that. I see that coming. Yeah. I acknowledge that. I believe that that nefarious stuff is probably happening deliberately because, you know, people stand to profit or at least collect enough information to profit from. But in a way, I'm like, well, but I'm like this sort of more savvy, more advanced user. I kind of...
Not only are you a corporate lunch listener, you're a host.
Exactly.
You don't fall easily.
I have a podcast that I co-host. And so, but that's a real, but it's, I mean, you have to, it's the same thing goes for like the privacy thing where it's like this funny thing where I'm like, yeah, sure, all that stuff's happening, but not really to me. Yeah. Or it is happening to me a little bit, but I don't really care.
You can't actually hurt my family.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm cool with it. You take what you want from me. I'm just, because it's like you can also, you know, you're being monitored. All your behavior is being monitored to some extent. You know, you walk into a department store or something and the same sort of thing is happening. So like, you know, you just got to...
A quick note on the paranoia thing. Like, I have a healthy dose of it, but at the same time, like, I mean, it's interesting as the technology advances, but in general, like one of the driving forces of conspiracy theories is this idea that there's a them.
Yeah.
And that's that there's a cabal who's organized and they meet behind closed doors and they decide things for the masses. Like, have you ever watched our government attempt to function? Like, it is not organized. You know what I mean? Like if 13 people could get in a closed conference room, like at a Masonic hall, and decide the fate of the universe, I have no doubt that they would do that. But they actually can't, like, align their iCals to all get in the same room. Like, the government is a mess.
Yeah, they're all wasting too much time looking at their feeds anyway. So
everybody's on Facebook. They're not actually, like, making nefarious decisions about that. Now, maybe that's naive. I don't know.
How important to you is like Instagram, for instance, as an image maker and as someone who has to sort of keep pace with the culture? Do you feel like it's totally crucial, or is it just a little extra sort of bonus, that, like a little seasoning that you can dip into?
As soon as you feel like it's totally crucial, you can name three people who aren't on it who are succeeding, who are thriving in all sorts of ways.
Right.
Now, one thing I think about all the time is I was on Facebook for a very limited, I basically have never been on Facebook effectively.
Yeah.
And I have never, as far as I can tell, missed a damn thing.
Yeah.
But you know, my culture is really on Instagram, so I have to be on Instagram.
Yeah.
Do I have to be on Instagram? If I deleted it tomorrow, would I ever miss it the way I never missed Facebook at all? I don't know, but it does feel to me, I've had a very complex, I mean, I'm not trying to make it sound more interesting than it is. I've had a convoluted and constantly evolving relationship to social media.
Yeah.
I was on Twitter early.
Yeah.
And I was on there like...
For like work purposes? Was it like GQ staff was like, we're getting on
here?
No.
I was just on Twitter and I was like, I would do these like set pieces. I remember this one time where I pretended I was at the Grammys and I was just like tweeting as though I was like at like, you know, a really popular musician at the Grammys. Not a popular musician, just that I was like me and I was at the Grammys and I was like giving shout outs to people I saw.
Wait, why did you stop doing
and this? Making up interactions. And people would like, you know, text me like, yo man, your Twitter's really funny.
Yeah.
And then one day I just lost it completely. Like I got detached from it and I never went back in that way.
Yeah.
And now I basically use Twitter and like as boring. My Twitter's pretty bad. Unless you're trying to keep up with like what's going on with GQ, GQ style, and corporate lunch.
Yeah.
Like my Twitter's not going to be that profound for you.
Yeah.
And the occasional like Bonnie Prince.
It's funny, but for a minute you like had the touch though. Like you were like,
oh yeah, yeah, early.
Yeah.
Like at Jack days.
Uh-huh.
And then Instagram, you know, same kind of deal. I like became increasingly frustrated with it as like some sort of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Projector.
Mm-hmm.
And had kind of ground to a halt on Instagram. And then I guess kind of like in January where you know, I got these dual roles. I was still editor in chief of GQ Style, became creative director of GQ, and thought like, I basically think that social media, the best people I know on social media, except for certain savants that I will never be, who are just able to like seamlessly be in the flow of it.
Yeah.
Like the best people I know who aren't those savants have made a decision.
Yeah.
They're like, this is what I do with my Instagram. And so I made the decision that if you follow me on Instagram, like we make so much stuff between GQ and GQ Style and Corporate Lunch and our websites.
Yeah.
We just make a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So I decided I would use it as a place to like show people who don't pick up the magazines, don't go to the websites, like a little piece of the giant pie of stuff that we make.
Yeah.
And obviously the creative director of GQ role is like all about image making. Yeah. So that's an outlet for me to like show what me and the team have been making.
Yeah.
So that's been like an easier situation for me of late.
Yeah.
And then I started using IG stories, actually, low key using the 13 Vibes, idea from Corporate Lunch.
Yeah.
Like I'll occasionally just essentially like do a 13 post IG stories.
Yeah.
Mood board.
Just a collection of vibes.
Yeah. But I basically swore off. I'll occasionally mix some like personal iPhone photo, lifestyle-y personal iPhone photos into that.
Yeah.
The vibes on IG stories. But for the most part, like I don't do lifestyle social media.
Yeah.
And I'm much happier that way.
Yeah.
I think it would be better. I would have more followers. More people would know my name. Somebody would probably give me some, you know, incredible job offer if I, you know, or I would be like a paid influencer or something.
Yeah.
If I was able to like seamlessly
get on those seating lists.
Yeah. Or look at somebody like Virgil.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why these days all things have to come back to Virgil Abloh, but they do. Virgil, the guy is like an effortless social media user.
Yeah.
It's part of his genius and part of his power.
Yeah.
And I give it up to him. I'm like, man, that would be cool if I could be that way. I just can't.
Yeah.
So I acknowledge that, and I've like made decisions in order to sort of like manage my relationship.
Yeah.
But I've been through all sorts of different user highs and lows.
Yeah, that's a funny thing about it. You're saying like you can make a decision, and sometimes I feel the exact same way about you go through phases, I guess, you know? And I had like a moment for a while where I was just like, felt like I was just thriving on Twitter. It was just my best work.
It was just constant like, finger guns.
I just couldn't. Bang, bang, bang all over the place. Pew, and I was pew. Just like, I just felt like I entered into this like really natural flow, and I had like
that's
a voice
total momentum game
and like a style
it's
and
a
just
total
like
momentum game.
The sort of like the way I would approach things, and it's a total like fiction. Like it didn't really necessarily have too much to do with who I actually am.
Yeah,
I mean, it did. It was some version of me.
But yeah,
it was
yeah.
also just like completely faking a lot of shit just for the sake of this like fun Twitter persona that I kind of had. That's not far off of who I really am, but is kind of like an alternate version.
And that's, I feel like the people are really in the flow. That's what they have going on.
That's what you
they
do.
Have, there's like this Instagram persona and they have like a really dialed relationship to it.
Yeah.
And there's momentum and there's flow and there's like, there's in the same way that like our GQ Style, there's stuff that's GQ Style and there's stuff that's not.
Yeah.
They're like Instagram has that saying, it's got a point of view and it's got things it is and things it isn't. And it's not necessarily any like meaningful reflection of their life. It's like its own life.
And then that kind of will peter out and I'll just like lose the interest, and then like a week will go by and I'm not tweeting and I'm just like, eh.
And it's hard to get it back.
And then you might find it again. You might not. Sometimes a big breakthrough for me, this is kind of going a while back, and maybe this is obvious at this point. Maybe the whole thing has come this far, but was like unfollow brands.
All right.
Unfollow celebrities.
Except for GQ Style.
Yeah, exactly. Unfollow.
Unfollow celebrities.
Unfollow celebrities that don't post themselves or aren't like actually like interacting. Like John Mayer is a good example. Like follow John Mayer. That
Hell
he's
yeah.
like because
he's on their crush. Talk about flow.
If you think he's interesting, exactly. Like then you know follow friend of the pod John Mayer. Follow friend of the pod. I like what Jonah Hill's done since. Obviously he's promoting. He's like gearing up.
He's gearing up for his movie.
Promote mid 90s, but like he's kind of turned it into a photo album of candid. It's pretty just like pictures of him with famous people with a nice caption about them or whatever. But like, you know, like
His was awkward at first, though. You're like, where are we going, bro? But now he's kind of like caught a wave.
Thinking about this makes me wonder, like, maybe accounts should just be temporary. Like, should I just when you lose the wave, just delete it, and then when you come back, start again.
Will your handle still be there?
I don't know. Sometimes like the legacy. No, I don't. Like,
somebody could snatch that.
Sometimes I feel.
But you could squat on it. You could just delete all your content and squat on it.
Yeah.
And then come back with new idea.
Like Instagram launched in 2010, I think.
That's
incredible. 8 years ago. I don't know. Does that seem like a long time? I can't decide.
It seems like not long enough and way too long.
And I don't really remember when I signed up for it, but pretty early on, around then.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever wonder about, or what is the thinking about what the future holds for all this stuff? Will it just be gone one day and we'll look back and be like, oh, we used to have that thing?
Oh, totally.
And now it's
I think about that because, well, one of the great things about hip-hop rap music is that it's so a product of the moment.
Yeah.
And can only be good when done that way, basically.
Yeah.
And so when Drake's like rapping about like follows and mentions and,
right,
you know, stuff like that, or I mean, it's ever present. Like Instagram is just like a topic of rap music.
Yeah.
Like, what is that going to sound like? Because in theory, we're, you know, in some cases, some of these guys are making music that is still going to be listened to and relevant 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a hilarious time capsule. When just people are rapping about, like, selfies and mentions and likes and, like, ats and stuff. But, I mean, this is the history of, like, you know, think about when we were in, like, late high school, early college, burgeoning internet.
Yeah.
You know,
AOL Instant Messenger. And
IM, Napster, you know, dead platforms.
Yeah.
The history is littered with dead platforms, man. So absolutely, like, there's no way, like, you
it's
know.
Not going to last forever. You're...
There's no way the children of corporate lunch are going to, like, have Instagram accounts.
This is why
they
will
certainly have some sort of next generation of it.
This is why you need to be sure to nourish and bolster your personal brand, both online and off.
Yeah, that's right. And it needs to be platform agnostic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you need to be able to flow over changing platform
who
landscape.
Who are you? If you take it all away, if you sign out, what are you left with?
You know, I've been... The part of what I meant is I have an ever-evolving relationship as a user. I mean not as a poster.
Yeah.
As like a consumer of social media.
Yeah.
And there are definitely times when like I'm hotter on I'm going to Twitter first versus Instagram first. But there was a period earlier this year where I realized that I was kind of like melting in a late hour deep in the night on Instagram pretty much every night.
Yeah.
And I had like a little bit of a hollow, sick feeling.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully my soapbox speech about like these just being platforms with functionality and not being positive or negative things abides through this topic of conversation. But I was like in a negative place with it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Instagram is bad.
I'm saying
I had developed this weird thing.
Right.
And I would look up and like an hour and 20 minutes would have melted in a flash.
And your face feels weird.
My eyes felt weird. My face feel weird. My heart, my gut, it all felt really weird.
Yeah.
And I realized I needed to like revise.
Yeah.
You know, cause you kind of said, and I feel like you, like, you know, you can't, like, I'm smarter than like whatever the hooks are for the iPhone and the platform.
Right.
Except I had gotten hooked, you know?
Yeah.
And so you have to, like, be ready to... I don't know. I feel like it the one thing it does require is constant assessment and analysis.
Yes.
Like, where am I at with this? How is it making me feel?
Yeah.
And what am I gaining versus what am I sacrificing? Yeah. And how can I revise the terms?
Yeah.
You know the term agreements?
Yeah.
Like, you need your own personal term agreements.
Yeah, check the box.
With all of these...
Yeah.
And you have to just be constantly looking at it. You know, on the whole, I think it's the right thing for me to be like on Instagram and Twitter.
Right.
To have accounts, to keep them active.
You don't feel compelled to do the diet, the like freeze yourself out, cold turkey. People love to do this thing where it's like, I got off social media for a year.
Yeah. And man, now and I'm happy. Really, dog? Okay,
solved
well,
all my problems.
Yeah, that could be true, and I like totally support that. But also, like, maybe you had a ridiculously stupid relationship to social media. If that was like the one thing that was keeping you from happiness,
I try to remember things like one of my habits is I follow editors and writers, partly because it's the business I'm in, so I feel connected to sort of my people and what's going on with them, and then partly because I feel like, you know, you want to follow the people who make the content, not the like people who host it, right? Yeah. Necessarily. But sometimes I find that I'm like, damn, I follow all these writers, but I never read their shit. I just read their tweets.
Yeah.
And then
totally.
They're like, you know, I just have a simple moment of just being like, oh, I got to log off and just go like read a long article. Just like really give myself a break and be like, let me go read the New Yorker article I've been like thinking about reading.
Reading 74 layers of takes on.
Yeah. And like, that's just a thing that I have to like really actively sort of like stop, recalibrate, be like, okay, let me extract myself from this stream and sit still and sink myself into something, read something. That's why I'm here. That's the premise. That's sort of like, if I were to say like, why am I on Twitter? It's like, well, because this is how I find things that are that I then kind of interact with in a more meaningful way. But if it becomes that Twitter's just the thing I'm interacting with in a meaningful way, then I'm not ultimately doing the thing.
Then you're not engaged in any way.
Yeah, I'm not there for the reason that I sort of supposedly
am. You're just skimming the social surface.
And that's another thing if you're like, this is just entertainment. But if that's the case, like, you know, 15 minutes is plenty, not more
3 hours.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Americans were once said to watch 5 hours of TV a day.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what our social media account is. I'm sure that's just a Google away, but I bet it's like 3 hours, five hours.
I would not want to know. I think whatever it is for me, it's too much for sure.
I'm hesitant to go here, but I'm just going to go here anyway. Yeah. I'm throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah.
For me, the antidote to like whatever feelings, positive or negative, social media may be instilling in us, whatever effects we might be getting from, you know, like radiation to attention deficit disorder or whatever from our broader cultural addiction to the iPhone, like, to me, I don't want to sound preachy, I'm really hesitant, but you have to have some sort of like spiritual or mindfulness practice
in addition. You mean,
I just think I would say yeah, like I said, I'm sort of making my own skin crawl because it's like one step away from saying like you need to be saved by Jesus.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if you don't have like some sort of like internal analysis practice, whatever that might mean for you, where you can get some like real distance from the drama in your life, the drama coming through your iPhone, all this stuff. And you know, whatever that might be, like, you could tell me it's your like nightly skate sesh or whatever. I'm not saying you have to do this, that, or the other, but if you don't have some way of like just separating you from yourself and all this stuff, then I think it's like dangerous territory.
And if you do, whatever that thing may be, I mean, I have a few different ways that I sort of force myself / choose to put my phone down for 2 hours and do another thing. That other thing ends up being just incredible. If it's like a pickup basketball game or a yoga class, going skateboarding or like a long bike ride, whatever it is. But you
long
know those things where
beach.
You're like, damn, I couldn't be on the phone. Like, probably that thing that you're doing instead is awesome and is way better.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, we're just left with a lot of time in our day when it's just too available. But yeah, you need to balance it.
Yeah.
You need to just make sure you're like canceling it out somehow, maybe not canceling it out,
having a mindful relationship to it, where you're like, you're not mindlessly succumbing to whatever it is it's doing to you and whatever it's making you feel and all of the stuff that this kind of interaction stirs up. I basically can't bear when people are like, social media, man, is changing the world. Connectivity, we're making the planet a better place. That like whole Silicon Valley, what for me is like social, what they're really looking for is scale, which leads to valuation and disguising it as the greater good.
Right.
Fuck that.
Yeah, of course.
The other thing I can't really stand for are people who are like, you know, social media is the devil, the iPhone is the devil. Like, it's on all of us to like have a meaning, to develop a meaningful, workable, healthy relationship to all these things.
Yeah.
How do you approach your have you made decisions about Instagram?
In terms of what's in there?
Like, this is what I do on Instagram feed. This is kind of my vibe on IG stories. Or is it like a constantly evolving feel?
It's constantly evolving. Well, I guess if I were to characterize it, I do not want it to ever feel like I'm trying too hard or that, like, that the deliberate decision is a little bit like, I don't want this to feel too deliberate.
I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
Who's I'm like, not, check out my new sneakers, man. Yeah. I just skated a sesh. Yeah. Look at my vacation. Have you ever had a mochaccino?
Either that or...
It's got my face in it.
Or mochaccino.
It's a latte with my face in it.
Check out this Jaga. Or I don't want to be... Have it feel like it's an art-directed thing.
Yeah.
Because that to me is just weird.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to, like, be noticed. In fact, I have not a ton of followers, but more followers than people I know personally. And... will often feel like,
I don't have a ton of followers, but I do have more followers than anyone I know.
I often think, no,
Sam, we need a button that's just like when somebody unwittingly just stunts, we just need to like trigger something.
Launch the rockets.
Yeah.
Or something better.
Anyway, where were we?
We were talking about my abundant and engaged, loving following. My thing is, like, if people unfollow because this post is, like, off-brand or weird for them, then good. You know, like, I'd rather... Sometimes I get weirded out. I'm like, why aren't my followers all people I know and my account is private and this whole thing is just a personal...
Give me a break, dude. You're a taste god. This is how it goes.
I have shit to share with the world.
Yeah, that's right.
But I guess I think of it as like... I do think, like, I want this to represent, like, what I think is cool and what my world is like. And yep. I deliberately leave out things that I think are uncool.
Yep.
Like pictures of my meals or, like, really braggy pictures of my, like, vacations and things and stuff. But then I throw that stuff in there, but I guess I sort of think, like, yeah, I'll, like, downplay this thing.
Maybe a little IG stories wouldn't hurt. Yeah, maybe, you know, this... Actually, maybe I will throw the sunset up and see what kind of engagement it gets.
You think about...
Hey, how deep do you go into the, you know, you can see who looked at your IG stories? How much analysis do you do of your own stories engagement?
I look at the number.
Don't lie to me, dog.
I like to do the thing where you look and you can see when, like, if you stack a bunch of stories together, you can see when
someone stopped looking when they pulled the plug. Yeah. I know, it's...
Dude, my wife was sitting next to me the other day, and she's looking at stories, and she just straight swiped through all my whole story block. And I was like, you don't want to watch any of those clips? I mean, there's some good tricks in there. So.
She was like, she watched the first one and was like, oh, it's a skate session,
yeah,
then skipped.
She was like, meh. Yeah, totally.
So, man, that means if your wife does it, there's not, you know, you can't.
Like, unfollow me.
You can't get hurt by anybody else doing it.
A weird thing about it being... Let's just say we're all 8 years deep in Instagram. Probably we're not exactly, but we're some number of years with some high level of engagement and hours spent doing this thing, which is like, you know, that's practice. Like, we're all experts. Like, the amount, it's funny you ask, like, well, what's the sort of strategy? What's my thinking? And my gut reaction is like, no strategy. I just throw stuff up there. But then in reality, it's like, no, what? I've been doing this for years. I've honed like some very, like, just thinking about it now, like, it's not a real deliberate thought process necessarily, but it's definitely there. Like,
there must be some principles in there that you are abiding by.
Yeah, you don't do something for that long without developing like a sense of it.
I mean, that's the fact that you just said we've been doing this for 8 years is really interesting, because I think that would be a good way to like have a check-in about it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I have put 8 years, I think I got on Instagram the year I've got my own name, man. I must have been on there early. Yeah. I think I was on there in 2010.
Yeah.
So I've done this more. I've given some time to this almost every day for 8 years.
Yeah.
Worth it?
Hard to say.
For me, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I can name all kinds of reasons why.
Yeah.
I'm gonna vibe one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
But man, that you have to like. Sometimes you got to stop, clear the decks, and like take stock in a real way. Like, damn, every day for 8 years. You know what I have not done every day for the last 8 years?
Look at yourself in the mirror and say that I love you.
I haven't done that every day for 8 years. Yeah. I haven't exercised every day for 8 years. Yeah. I haven't called my mom every day for 8 years.
Yeah.
But I've looked at Instagram every day for 8 years. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's true.
Yeah.
And that's for me to unpack, to decode.
Yeah, and part of it is like, you know, it's technology. It's just the way we live.
Yeah.
And if you try, to me, it would be a greater effort to try to live without it than it is to live with it.
Yep.
And not worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel, that doesn't make me feel bad or anything. I think other people might feel uncomfortable about that.
And I think it's tight if you have like a contrarian bone and you're like, no, I live without social media.
Yeah.
Some people, that's like their, you know, if all of this is an exercise in like self-branding,
yeah,
that's like their brand and their self-conception and, you know, God bless them.
Yeah.
Me, my brand is to have an ongoing tortured relationship with social media. That's completely unsatisfying for all involved.
One thing I will say about it is when I write an article that gets published,
yep,
I feel compelled. It is irresistible for me to post that about that.
Absolutely, you should do that. That's why people are following you.
I think that would be one thing that I would not, that I, it's hard for me to imagine not having. Not
people come up to me and they say, look, man, GQ Style is a really special thing. It's like really magical print publication. You shouldn't give it away online.
Yeah.
Don't put it on the internet and don't Instagram all the best photos.
People say that?
Yeah. Several, with some frequency.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that what? So that it can like sit on a newsstand and we just like pray,
yeah,
that the people who would want it find it? Yeah. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, it's ludicrous for you to have a Twitter account, write a story, and not tweet it.
Yeah.
People are following you because they want to see your shit.
Yeah.
And likewise, when I love when people come up to me and say, GQ Style is a really special thing, man. You should like preserve the print product. You'll sell more magazines.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that is an awesome thing for you to have said. Thank you so much.
Right, right.
Thank you so much. Excuse me. I have to go now. We have to put, I have to finish the headline to put this article online and we need to gram the story. We need to gram all the photos. That's just the way it is. I want people to see your shit. I don't care if they, you know, buy GQ Style to, like, absolutely subscribe.
Yeah.
Don't listen to our pod and not support our shit. But we got to keep gramming it, man. That's where the culture's at. You want to get into some vibes or what?
Yeah, I'm ready to vibe.
You want to kick it off?
Yeah.
I'll kick it off because I got one that directly relates.
All right.
I found a dude. I think I'm 99% sure it was via Aquarium Drunkard. You know Aquarium Drunkard?
No.
Aquarium Drunkard is a music blog.
Okay.
That got a Sirius XM on XMU on Sirius XM. They have a show.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay.
They're heads, not Grateful Dead heads. They just like deep dives on good music, both past and present. And I followed them on Instagram, and they were like posting a mix or something, and it had this, the art was this really dope collage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tapped.
Yeah.
And at Heavy Hymns, HYMNS, like hymnals, mm-hmm. Heavy Hymns came up.
Yeah.
And I linked through to his gram.
Yeah.
And then I saw a bunch of dope collages.
Yeah.
So I DM'd him.
Uh-huh.
And I said, he said in his bio line that he lives in LA.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yo, dude, work is dope. Can I come by?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, man, come by. His name's Michael Hintz.
Mm-hmm.
He's a collage artist in Los Angeles. I cruised by. He's got this sweet little garage studio set up. And I bought some collages from him.
That's so cool.
Meaningful real life interaction. That
facilitated by.
Just fully only due to Instagram.
Yeah.
I got some dope pieces for a good price.
Yeah.
He was stoked. I was stoked. Everybody was stoked. I told a friend who bought a piece.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like positivity straight from the gram, straight off the gram, pure positivity. And check out Michael Hintz at Heavy Hymns. He might melt your eye. Your mind's eye. He might melt your mind's eye.
I have one. I was reluctant.
Or if you don't go, sorry.
Yeah.
Pardon the interruption. If you don't go check out Heavy Hymns, find somebody cool who makes somebody cool on IG, DM them, go meet them in person, and have a exchange.
Find something,
have an energy exchange.
Find something that inspires you. Just don't DM me, ask me about shit I talked about on the pod.
Oh, man. Hey, what was the name of those shorts that you vibed?
What was the t-shirt you mentioned in episode 6?
Yeah, this is not Instagram stories. The pod does not go away.
Homie, listen, re-listen.
Re-listen.
I don't remember. Or ask Sam Hine. Send all DMs about credits and other questions.
No, if you're looking to engage about corporate launch, you just got to at Noah V. Johnson. Any question, no matter how high or how low.
I'm here for you. Or just come to Greenpoint. You'll find me. I have one. I actually wasn't even thinking about this in these terms, but I recently bought a beauty product that I was going to share because I like it.
Cool.
I bought it because I saw it on Instagram.
Sick.
It's called Everyday Oil.
Face?
I don't know. All-purpose skin oil.
Just rub it all over yourself?
It's like coconut oil and olive oil and all these pressed vegetable oils, and it has Palo Santo and lavender in it, which I thought would smell nice.
Yeah, and?
It does. It smells nice. I don't really know what to do with it. I now have it. I sort of use it like a lotion. I rub it around. I put it on my, like after I've been skating, some sun, put it on my face, my neck. I don't do anything like kinky with it. Will's looking at me like.
No, that's actually
But you
not,
could, I think. That, I think it's probably safe for all sorts of activity.
It's just a bunch of vegetables.
But I saw someone I follow. I don't even remember who. I wish I could call it out. Someone posted this shit.
I wasn't looking at you like you do kinky stuff with it, although, you know, God bless you. I was just looking at you because you were like, I found this great beauty product, like a really modern man, and then you went into like, I don't know, man, I rub it around. I don't know how to say what I do with it.
No, I just got it. I don't have a routine
yet.
Okay,
let me ask you this. How expensive is it and how big is the bottle? Because to me, the price and size of the bottle sort of leads the way on how much of it you use.
I bought the smallest one and it was $22 and the bigger one was 24 or 40 something. So it's small. It's two ounces or something.
Okay. So to me that means you can't just
No, it's a
like when
squirt.
I get out of the shower, I rub jojoba oil all over myself.
But you get more of that stuff.
Which is affordable oil, and then I have a more expensive thing that's for my face.
I think that stuff is in this product I just bought.
I bet it is. It could be the base oil.
I'm still on a tiny little dab in the palm and a little rub on the
little dab will do you.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Everyday Oil.
Everyday Oil.
But it was just fully like someone posted on Instagram and then I tapped to the thing and then I was like, this has an interesting vibe.
Copped.
And I just bought a little bottle of it.
Meaningful interaction, IRL interaction, sourced from the gram.
Supported an independent oil maker.
I'm going to continue with the app-based vibing that has meaningful IRL connotations. Drag City Records.
Yeah.
Now streaming. This is a huge deal for me.
What happened?
Drag City's a Chicago-based record label.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Callahan, Smog, yeah. Bonnie Prince Billy, Joanna Newsom, all kinds of amazing artists since the 90s have come out via Drag City Records.
Yeah.
It's one of those curated record labels. I used to just buy stuff on spec because Drag City had put it out.
Anything they put out.
Yeah. They, for the longest time, had held off the streaming services.
That's right.
And are recently coming off it. Like, Will Oldham, a.k.a. Palace Music, Bonnie Prince Billy.
Yeah.
He's I've spent as much time listening to Will Oldham as maybe anybody but Outkast and the Grateful Dead in my life. It was not available on streaming.
That's right.
So that was causing me, causing me life problems.
Yeah.
One of the people I listen to most could not listen on the handheld device. Now his catalog is being rolled out one album per week.
Amazing. Starting with Palace is the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Is Palace it going chronological or is it?
I believe it seems to be. So this is just life-changing stuff for me.
How far in are we? Is it week one now or is it?
No, we're several weeks in.
Several weeks in.
Yeah, a bunch of joints are up there. So, you know, there was a, I don't have that stuff on CD anymore. I got rid of all my CDs.
Yeah.
I have it all on vinyl, although some of the vinyl is packed away.
Yeah.
So I was basically wasn't listening to any Will Oldham, and now I'm back.
That's so awesome.
If you're not familiar with Drag City Records, I couldn't recommend it anymore. If you haven't listened to Bonnie Prince Billy, couldn't recommend it anymore.
Really make me want to listen to Will Oldham.
Spotify is just so much more relevant now.
This is a real travesty when this happens. My domestic partner was complaining the other day because she threw away all of her CDs, as many people did, 10 years ago, including her collection of Aaliyah CDs.
Yep.
Aaliyah doesn't stream.
Yep.
And so now she's just Aaliyah-less.
Yeah.
And she's devastated. So if you get any Aaliyah CDs, send them to me. And I'll...
No, you're a technologically savvy domestic partner. No, I think you can help her out.
We can't figure it out. I tried to download them, and there's like no good versions. I don't know, man.
Stream it off YouTube.
I tried. I have a quick, the next vibe is going to be a music recommendation. I have no hot takes for you regarding Kanye West and Ye or Kids See Ghost because I've been listening to Tierra Whack instead ever since they came out. She's amazing. She's like a 22-year-old rapper from Philly, and she put out a 15-track album called Whack World. Each song is 1 minute long. Have you heard it or checked it out at all? It's super unusual. She mixes tons of styles. She sings and raps her ass off. The music is incredible. It's sort of everything, like from kind of like trap music to like slow R&B jams to like weird southern country stuff. It has like a slight Frank Ocean flavor, in my opinion, just in the like style meld that's sort of happening.
Yep.
Super
kind
unique.
Of broad mood.
It's 15 minutes long, 15 songs. There's a visual component that I haven't even dipped into yet, but it's, to me, it's like I haven't even listened to the new Kanye stuff that much because this one is so good.
Have you heard Kids See Ghosts?
I've listened through it, but I didn't. It didn't.
I haven't jammed it yet.
Moved right back to Tierra Whack.
I'm taking it back to Instagram today. Okay, Kerry James Marshall, who's the artist that Puffy bought his painting for $21 million.
Shout out, friend of the pod. Both Puffy and Kerry James Marshall.
He had a. I've been thinking a lot about just making stuff. Big part of what we do here is just make stuff, including this pod. We're making stuff right now. And Kerry James Marshall had a Instagram caption today, and it just moved me. This has been like my life vibe of late. He said, "Don't think about making art, just get it done. Let everyone else decide if it's good or bad, whether they love it or hate it. While they are deciding, make even more art."
There you go.
Presented without commentary.
Next vibe, another legend, Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Birdman.
Tony Hawk is the Birdman. He's 50 years old or 55. What is he? He's 50. He put out a video part recently where he did 50 tricks for his 50th birthday.
Yeah, he just had his 50th birthday party.
Yeah.
The homie Atiba was posting photos
from
it.
That's right. I don't know why I thought 55. Anyway, so he was on, I've talked about the Nine Club podcast. It's the big skate podcast before. The most recent episode is Tony Hawk.
Who hosts it?
It's Chris Roberts and Kelly Hart, two skaters, host it. But they're really good. It's pretty charming. So there's like a 2.5 hour Tony Hawk interview that just went up.
Damn, 2.5 hours?
Yeah, and they just go. Because they really nerd out. They get into like, take us through like making this video and like how did this trick go down and all this stuff. And Tony Hawk is just a super rad guy, like has had a hell of a career. He talks really openly about like, you know, having contracts with Doritos and, you know, like how he made his money in skateboarding. And kind of like his whole narrative is basically he was never cool. When he was a kid, he was a nerd. When he skated, his style was considered whack. When he got super famous, that was uncool. He took big endorsements. You know, like, he was never done. He's always,
that is so tight.
Like, he's always been the greatest ever, but he's never been cool. And he totally knows it, and he doesn't give a shit.
That is super inspiring.
He made $1 billion fucking dollars on video games, and he puts all of it, let's just say, back into skateboarding. He's built like 1,000 skate parks around the world. He's just the best dude of all time. But so the big thing is, of course, his Tony Hawk video game.
Yeah.
Which made him insanely rich and famous. And at one point they were like, "So how much money did you make from this video game?" And you don't think Tony Hawk's gonna like spill the beans, but he's like, "Let me just tell you this." He's like, "When it first got big, we were about to release the third or fourth game, and my contact at PlayStation, whatever it is, his contact calls him and takes him out to lunch, and they go have lunch, and the guy's like, "Look, man, we're about to drop the next game. These other three games are still like in the top 10 of the video game charts right now. Things are changing," and gives him a check on the spot for $4 million. And like, this Tony Hawk is just telling the story. Now, $4 million, that's not like Diddy money, you know, like he's not actually a billionaire, but for like that's a skateboarder just sitting there at lunch with this dude, and
that's like one of many of the checks.
And I think
related to
exactly
these
the context of the story was like, this is just a taste of where we're headed. So
I wonder who bought lunch. Hopefully the agent.
Shout out Tony Hawk and Riley Hawk, who both have been featured in an amazing story styled by Mobilaji in GQ Style.
Dude, shout out Mobilaji. We need to have Balaji back on
he
the pod.
Be back on. He's killing it lately.
Guys, it's a wrap for the Larry Bird episode of Corporate Lunch. We love you. We mean it. We'll see you real soon.
Have a meaningful engagement with your life today.